Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 25 more minutes of programming here on this show. Wanted to tell you that on Monday, which is Labor Day, we're going to do something we've not done before, and that's we're going to have a Trivia Friday marathon. You know how you watch TV channels sometimes and they have marathons?
I'm excited about this.
So what we're going to do, because it's so much learning goes on during that hour and a half.
IQs are going to be popping through the roof. And we're after Monday.
We're going to re-air some of our shows from, I think it's from 7 a.m. Central to 1:30 Central. So that's on Monday, Labor Day. We want to catch you up with learning. You're Learning University.
We're going to fundamentally change the country with Learning University.
That's right. So that's Monday. So if you you want to hear Trivia Friday on Monday, wall to wall, for about 6 hours, we're going to do that Monday morning.
Now, don't try to call in, folks, because it's not
no,
live.
No, it's replays.
Replays, yeah.
Of shows. Abe Hamilton and Ed Battagliano joining us. American Family Radio is what you're listening to. Last hour, we were talking about what's called secular progressivism. If you look it up on the internet, probably just going to be called progressivism. But we've tagged it secular progressivism because basically it's a godless view of the world. You may have heard the term humanism or secular humanism. My dad was on to this. He wasn't the first one, but my dad, Don Wildman, he was writing about this in the 70s. And he could see, at the time, he called it secular humanism, but that was the ideology that was confronting the Judeo-Christian worldview at the time, very open, you know, and it became more open.
And I think that's the correct way to describe the ideology. In my one of the articles I wrote, I think for October, that'll be in the AFA Journal, where I talk about specifically progressivism. I said secular humanism is the ideology. Progressivism is the steer. No, if secular humanism is the car, progressivism is the steering wheel.
I think that's accurate.
Progressivism is the plan for making secular humanism change the world. Mm.
But this is becoming, and humanism is basically the philosophy or ideology that there is no God.
Right.
Man is God. And
science is unbiased, it's impartial, and only scientifically trained experts, right. And they included political science in this as their science. You know, the way we view politics and the changes we're bringing about. Only people trained should run the country. It's really quite extraordinary.
And the world.
And eventually the world.
And the world. That's why. We were talking last hour about why does President Obama do so many things that are contrary to the national interest of our country? And you just scratch. If you give him, you know, if you don't know these things that Ed's talking about, Abe's talking about, that is secular progressivism and what's going on in the world, then you do scratch your head and you go, man, the fella seems like he's against his own country. How does this square? When you say in 2008 you want to fundamentally transform America, you say it. You don't necessarily fill in all the blanks because that would shock people. You know what I'm saying? It maybe scare people, but you say you want to fundamentally transform America, and you know Mr. Obama's background and his beliefs. And some of it he was willing to say, and others he didn't want to at the time because he knew it might hurt him politically. For example, he was for homosexual, quote, marriage all along, but David Axelrod, his advisor, when he was running in 2007, they were talking about his appearance with Rick Warren, the pastor from California.
And right.
President Obama was doing a Q&A with him, and David Axelrod said, you can't go out and tell these people that you're for gay marriage? Are you nuts? You got to just stand up there and lie if you have to, but don't tell them what you're for it, because that could potentially hurt you with the African-American pastors and churches who are not for same-sex marriage.
Right.
And President Obama said, basically, I have a hard time. This is him talking. I remember reading the interview with David Axelrod, but David Axelrod was saying about President Obama, President Obama was saying to him, and I can't use expression because it's profane, but basically he was saying, I can't fool people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very good at fooling people on this. This is President Obama talking. I really don't want to. But I understand what you're saying, David, so I'll lie to him.
Mm-hmm. That literally is what the exchange.
Yeah, so I'll go out and lie to him and tell him I'm against same-sex marriage when you and I know I'm for it.
Yep.
But you know, deception is acceptable to secular humanists if it advances their cause, because they don't believe in a God that punishes lying, Abe.
No, they believe that the ends justify the means. So it doesn't matter what it takes to get to the goal.
That's why they can be so dishonest on so many fronts, and it doesn't bother them. I mean, it hurts Hillary Clinton politically to be dishonest. We'll see.
That's the only thing. It doesn't bother you to be dishonest.
No, no.
It just, what bothers you is the possible political consequences of being dishonest.
Right. And right now, you know, she's still very much in contention, if not leading, in the polls, despite the fact that 60 to 70% of the American public say she's a dishonest person.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is very interesting. I'd like to maybe get Ray Pritchard on and we tie this all together somehow with a look to the future, because this does a lot of what we're saying today, while we're describing modern day events and politics, it does fit in with a biblical prophetic view of the end times.
Right.
I'm not a person that wants to spend every day all day talking about the end times when you have football season coming up. And I already have depression sometimes to deal with during the fall. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying that, you know, some people get fixated on that stuff. Some people get fixated on that and don't ever want to talk about it. Everything that happens, you know, if the macaroni and cheese is bad at lunch, they go, you know this is Bible prophecy, don't you? You know that person I'm talking about?
Times, yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just as, like you're saying, as the other, you know, side of this is that we have seen, even in the last 100 years, we have seen attempts, I think, by the devil to set these things up, and God squashed them. So you have two world wars last century, that essentially shattered the progressive movement for a while. I mean, people like H.G. Wells, the famous author, but he was a socialist. He was when he died, was crestfallen at how human nature seemed unable to see what the progressive vision was. So you see things like Adolf Hitler, who was about as close to a mirror image of, you know, what the Antichrist is going to be like. You see him fail. So what I'm trying to say is this is on God's timetable, not the devil's. So I don't want people to overly become overly concerned at what men are attempting to do. Because the Bible says in Psalm 2, God looks at their attempts to break off the restraints of God and laughs at them because he knows their end. So I just want to encourage people that God is on the throne, and whatever man may try to do, they only succeed when God says it's time to succeed.
Right. You're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the, I should say, Amen, Brother, not just right.
Amen.
Abe Hamilton with me. That was Ed. You were hearing Ed Vitagliano on American Family Radio. Our email is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We have with us our good friend. Let's see, who is with us?
We got Alex McFarland.
Alex, yeah, our good friend, who? I went and drew a blank right there for just a minute because we've had some guests who were supposed to appear today who have not, but Alex is here. Alex McFarland, he's not really physically here in studio. He's on the phone. Alex, good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning, friends. It's always fascinating to listen to your commentary. You guys are awesome.
Well, we are.
Well, thank you for your honesty, Alex. We do thank you for that honesty.
We don't have any false humility here, Alex. Our awesomeness is on display. No, I'm just kidding. I'm absolutely just kidding. I'm just kidding, folks. Hey, Alex, what do you think about what we're talking about right here?
Well, you know, I've thought about that. You know, Hitler, there were people back during the time of the Third Reich that Hitler was going to be the Antichrist. And I love what you said. You know, history will coalesce into Armageddon at some point, but it's going to be on God's timetable, not the devil's. But, you know, in every generation, the church must vigilantly shine forth the light and the truth. And I will say this, though, as wired up as the world has gotten, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that couldn't play out on the stage of history right now today. I mean, really. In the spring of 2012, when Mubarak was getting deposed from Egypt, I was in Atlanta on Fox News, and I was asked to comment in real time, and I was watching the monitor as that revolution was taking place. We were watching a screen. And I asked the engineer, I said, you know, how much of a delay is there? And he said, no delay. He said, a 64th of a second. You know, he said, you're watching this in real time. And I remember, you know, atheists in previous generations like Voltaire and Robert Ingersoll used to mock the book of Revelation that talked about armies surrounding Israel. And they said, well, there is no Israel. And the two witnesses lay dead in the streets and the whole world watches. And some of the infidel literature of the 19th century scoffed at that. And they would say, well, how could the whole wide world see something on the other side of the planet? Well, here in the 21st century, Israel is a nation, and there's mobile devices and internet streaming, and we are at a time where politically, socially, really, there's nothing that would prevent the scenarios of Revelation and the tribulation period from playing out. And so the Bible says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And we've got to be ready, and we've got to get people prepared whenever the end will come, because
everything
it will come.
Yes, everything that's happening that we've been talking about today, and there's so much going on, we don't have time to cover it all by any means, but we have covered a lot of material, and everything that we've talked about that's going on in the quote real world, the natural world that we're seeing before our eyes, does fit in with what the Bible says about spiritual things, about human nature, about good versus evil, about God versus Satan, about prophetic events that will take place in the future. You know, I guess prophetic events can't take place in the past. I don't know. Was that redundant? I said prophetic events in the future.
Well, I think you're referring to prophecies.
That was a bad joke.
Okay.
It's not even worthy of you commenting on. Okay. I wasn't asking you a serious question. I was saying prophecy.
That was bad.
was looking forward. Has it ever been? Can you ever predict the past?
Right.
Anyway,
okay.
That being said, what we have here with the nation of Israel, for example, as Alex, as you just commented on, we have the creation of the nation of Israel in its modern, as its modern form. I mean, they've added some land since 1948, but it was created in 1948 as a Jewish state. And if Satan wants to destroy, if you believe the Bible, and I know some people obviously don't who are listening to us, God hates, I mean, Satan hates God's chosen people, right?
Yes.
Okay. By the chosen people, I mean the Jews.
Yes.
The Hebrews of the Old Testament. Now, obviously, we have the new covenant today. So God's grace and love and acceptance and join the family is extended to Gentiles, non-Jews. So we understand that. But still, that doesn't negate the specialness of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel in prophecy. Have I got that right, Brother Alex?
I believe so. And if you read Revelation 12, I mean, Satan hates the nation of Israel because it was through the Jewish people, but the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was born.
You're listening to the right, which was the fulfillment of prophecy.
Exactly.
By the way,
let me throw out another dynamic of modern day, the rise of Islam. you know, Christian leaders of times past, like Luther and like the Wesleys, and Christian leaders and secular leaders like Churchill and Douglas MacArthur, either implicitly or explicitly thought that the Mohammedans would contribute to the final world war that would be Armageddon. And, you know, let me say, we love these people. They need Jesus.
Mohammedism, you're talking about Islam? Mohammedism.
Yeah.
It used to be called Mohammedism, and that used to be the common expression for Islam. Now, today, more often called Islam. I just wanted people to be clear about what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Sure, sure. They were called Mohammedans, and you read especially, oh my goodness, the Wesleys, John and Charles Wesley, had some incredibly direct words to say about Islam. And many of the reformers, you know, during the late 1500s, they believed that it would be Islam that would drive the world to Armageddon. And so, oh my goodness, just if you want to get a new perspective on how accurate the Bible's prophecies about future history are, just read the morning newspaper. And the world, and yeah, I'm not an alarmist, I'm not doom and gloom, our hope is in Christ, but the world has become a powder keg, I mean, ready to explode. And the one hope for stability in this life and the next is Jesus Christ.
What about America's place in the world today, Alex? We were talking about this earlier, Abe and Ed, and yours truly here. We were talking about how the secular humanists slash progressives want to bring down, I don't know if it's bring down or bring under control the United States of America. Why is that? Why do you think that is?
I think there's a lot of resentment and really contempt for the USA for two reasons. One, the people like Obama that really don't love America and have certainly not acted in her best interest. For one thing, they don't understand America, and they don't know the God of our fathers, and they don't really appreciate what was America's uniqueness, and that was a Judeo-Christian worldview. The other thing is, I believe that there's guilt for what many feel is American privilege. We have been the most prosperous nation, the freest nation, the paragon of liberty and opportunity, and a lot of people feel bad about that because they think somehow we were just children of privilege. But what they don't know is, they don't know the hard work that went into building this nation. They don't know the men and women that laid down their lives to defend our freedoms. They don't, I mean, show me a progressive anti-American, anti-capitalist, and I'll also show you somebody that really is not a fan of a strong national defense. I mean, and there's so many things. I mean, what you believe about God and morality and patriotism will very likely spell out what you believe about a dozen other issues as well. The family, marriage, the sanctity of life, religious freedom, national defense, our relationship with Israel. And the lines of demarcation between a Judeo-Christian American worldview and a progressive, socialist, relativistic worldview, where people stand is more clear than ever, really.
Hey, Alex, this is Abe here. Something struck me when you guys were talking earlier about the reference to Islam as being Mohammedanism or Mohammedism earlier.
Right.
Do you think it's been an intentional recasting of Islam to maybe distinguish its practices today from the practices of Muhammad himself to try to convey Islam to the world at large by referring to it as Islam as opposed to Mohammedanism today?
Yeah, you know, from my research, practitioners of Islam never really did like the title Mohammedism anyway. That was a title Westerners used, and they, you know, refer to themselves as Muslims because while they do venerate their prophet Muhammad, they didn't want to be called Mohammedans because they didn't want to be viewed as idolaters. But let me say this. There has been, since 9/11 in the Western world, certainly in Western academia, a real whitewashing and an attempt to really paint Islam as a good thing, and the glaring flaws and fruits of this worldview have certainly been minimized, if not ignored. And all of the bloodshed that we can lay at the doorstep of terrorism, it's never really owned up to that it has been Islam's MO since it was launched around 622. I mean, read Samuel Huntington's book, The Clash of Civilizations. He's a Harvard professor and if not a cabinet member, at least a confidant during the Carter administration. And Huntington's book is a very balanced historical look at the fruits of Islam, not from a preacher or an evangelist, but from an historian. And the fruits of Islam are shockingly clear. But in the Western media, oh my goodness, they've turned a blind eye to the violence of Islam. But look, a month ago, ISIS put out the magazine, Dabiq, and the headline on their magazine was, "Why We Want to Kill You."
It was Why They Want to Kill You. Now, they're going to tell you, somebody like President Obama would say, "Oh, come on, ISIS is not Islam. They're a perverted distortion of..."
They're heretics, basically.
That's what they're going to tell you.
Sure.
But this has been going on since the inception of Islam. That is the spread of their particular religion.
And Huntington's book came out before 9/11, wasn't it? In the late 90s when he released that. It wasn't even that we
Clash of Civilizations. He's from a Democrat, liberal.
Well, he's a Harvard professor and minor, and he got blistered for releasing that when that book came out
The full blown PC movement took over. Wow.
At least with relationship to Islam.
Right. Go ahead, Alex. We got about a minute.
Okay. Well, I would encourage people to read The Clash of Civilizations by Samuel Huntington, or read They Call Me Infidel by Noni Darwish. Those that are objective historians and even those that have come out of Islam will tell you the truth about that. And I would encourage people to vigilantly seek out the truth and not just believe what is being said by the American media.
I'd like to explore at some point the connection, if there is any, between the secular progressive / humanist movement and Islamic movement, because those are counter ideologies, it seems to me, because one believes in authoritative God and his rule over man, that is Allah, and the other one doesn't believe in God at all, but they seem to be working together against Christianity.
Right.
Well, I'm still shocked. September of 2012, in front of the UN, when our president somewhat cryptically said the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
Yeah, he said that in first person. Like I believe in the prophet.
It was before the UN, wasn't it?
Before the UN,
That was September 12th, 2012.
Hey, we gotta step out of here, but not totally, folks. We're not like blasting off into space or anything like that.
Although some of
you listening to us go, well, they need to listen to that loony talk. But hey, folks, if you don't believe us, read the Bible for yourself before you reject it, okay? Read the book of John today, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read it, and I challenge you to do that and see if God doesn't speak to you. We'll see you next time.